Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
Heaven is releasing a wind right now. I'm going to ask you to receive it into you, okay? It contains what you need. I see it rolling into you. If you can receive it, it contains what you need. The thing you've been asking, God's presence has the ability to answer. His glory and His presence have the ability to do everything you need. Everything. Every single thing. Ure ca siendora busoto pregendisita tosogoto sitia torre. I'm praying for you to be able to believe that His grace, His mercy, His presence, His glory contains, houses, holds everything you will ever need. And so our ability to be able to receive it, house it, live in it, and believe it, that's what determines our progress. That's what determines our victory. Not the idea of whether God does it for us or not. He has already done it. He purchased it on the cross. We have not understood. That's why it's called so great a salvation, because we haven't fully understood all that salvation houses for every person that believes. We will go as far as we can believe. And so part of our issue is we need to shake off, we need to exchange, we need to get rid of the limitations that our earth understanding puts on us. All the stuff we were told that we can't do or shouldn't do or won't do, we need to trade all that in to find out what God says. You understand? Because God has called you to do things that are far beyond your natural capability. God has called you to do things you can't possibly do. And He does that for a reason, because He doesn't want you to do it. He wants to do it through you. He knows you don't have the ability to do what He's calling you to do. Whether it's get healed, get delivered, get set free from an addiction, preach in a on a scary corner somewhere, no matter what it is, it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter if you're battling your own demons, if you're battling addiction, if you're battling disease, if you're fearful about the future, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what it is. He has already provided the solution in a manifest living way, in accordance with your ability to walk in it. So that's why we're called to exchange all this earthly nonsense and ideas and limitations and I don't know if He meant me. That's all garbage. Take out the trash. Take out the trash. At our house, Tuesday night is trash night. You go through the house and you collect all the stinky pewy garbage cans and you get them in the can and you take them out. And this is trash night. Take out all the stuff the enemy has saddled you with. Tried to bind to you. All the idea of you can't, you won't, you shouldn't, you couldn't. Listen to me. God has called you to do something far beyond your understanding. It is a thing you will continually unfold as long as you live. And He'll give you one piece at a time. He doesn't give you the whole picture, because we couldn't handle that. We're not that smart. So He gives us one thing to do, and we say, well, I don't know if I can do that. Well, of course you can't. But His grace will teach you how to do it, how to allow Him to do it through you until you're an expert at it. And then He says, good, now here's the next thing. And the older that you get, the more territory you will be allowed to manage. If you do the first one well, you'll do the second one. If you do the second one well, He'll give you the third one. The more that you manage or steward properly for Him, the more authority He gives you. People who were faithful with the talents, remember that, were given authority over realms of cities. They were given territorial authority, right? 10 cities. So when you're faithful in the little stuff he gives you, don't worry about the day of small things. Don't worry about that. Everybody who's worth their salt has had to do small stuff, little stuff, puny, petty, little stuff. All of us have. Every preacher worth their salt, every minister, every evangelist, everybody worth their salt has had a day in the Lord where it felt like nothing was working. It felt like it wasn't possible for it to happen. And they were supposed to do some mundane thing like clean the toilet or, you know, we've all done it. And sometimes for a long, long season. That's okay. That's part of the deal. God is watching. He's looking for stewards. He's not looking for experts. He can make an expert out of rocks, okay? God doesn't need help, you know? He can raise up anybody he wants anytime he wants. What he's looking for is someone with a heart for the kingdom that will steward things properly for him and will be content in whatever realm he gives them. And if you learn how to do well in the realm he has given you, and you learn how to operate that well for him, he will promote you. And you sometimes when it's happening, you don't even know it's happening. And pretty soon you realize, oh, I've been given a greater authority. I'm carrying a greater anointing. Oh, oh, did I deserve it? Uh-uh. But it's part of the deal. God deals with me all the time and has for years about the idea of a person going from preschool to kindergarten to first, second, third, and on up through the grades, getting into high school, getting into college, getting their PhD, getting a fellowship, getting a chair at Oxford. See, there's levels in the spirit. Now you say, but I thought God wasn't a respecter of persons. He's not. Anybody can become a PhD. But you can't go to college if you haven't been through the third grade. You can't do calculus if you haven't understood algebra, and you can't do algebra if you haven't understood long division. You must learn in God, because God is your trainer, not some human. Right? This isn't Bible school we're talking about. This is the school of discipleship of God, where those who dedicate themselves to the realm that he gives them will be promoted. And it often happens when you least expect it. Sometimes you find yourself doing well what he gave you to do and being content in it and thinking, well, this is it. This is what I'll do the rest of my life, and I'm happy in this. Yay, all is well. And then, boom, God puts you in a new realm. And you don't even know what's coming. But it's the way of God. God likes to increase his children, but he cannot increase those who don't master where they're at. God is calling you to higher levels. You know, some people stay in their rubber pants forever. Some people stay on the baby bottle forever, forever saying, you know, give me more milk, you know, change my diaper, give me more milk. I'm not condemning you. I'm just saying that's where a lot of people in the body, because they've never been told that there comes a day, right, when they're to learn how to cook, right, and serve others. There's entire, I'm just going to say it. I don't like to talk like this, but I'm supposed to right now. There are entire churches who keep their kids in Pampers forever on purpose. Because if you keep them drinking the milk and sitting in the pew, if you keep them there, then, you know, then you'll have a good church, you know, with a solid attendance and whatever you think it's supposed to do. But I'm going to tell you something. Then you end up with people who can't really take the world by force. But this isn't that day. I'm telling you, this is not that day. I'm telling you, we're in a day where we're going to need to know how to fend for ourselves. We're going to need to know how to win in a battle. God is looking for experienced soldiers, experienced chefs that know how to feed the body, experienced warriors, experienced worshipers who don't just, you know, who don't just do it because it's what they think you're supposed to do. But it's what you are. People who pray because they consider it a calling. Some people don't get that. That's okay. They may not be called to that. But someone who's called to the ministry of intercession, they get that it's a position in the kingdom. It's a position. It's amazing. It's a position of great honor that many people won't recognize because they don't get it. But there's positions in heaven. You have a position. You have a niche. You have a place that has your name on it, your fingerprint. Nobody else can fill your spot. God's trying to help people understand how to get to their post, get to their position. You know, the first thing, if you enter the armed forces, the first thing they do is they give you a title, a level. Here's where you go. You don't stand around. Well, they tell you real clearly, here's where you go. This is where your bunk is, or this is where your post is. This is where you go in the morning. It's very clear. And if you're not there, you're in trouble. It's a very clear definition. Can I say to you, God is trying to get you to seek him for what is your niche, what is your post, what are you supposed to be doing? And no condemnation, but sometimes we can spin our wheels for years just trying to get life to be easier and get stuff from God and never even understand what we're here to do. You know, Paul said that he was set apart for the gospel. Set apart. That means he knew he was cut from a different cloth. He was made and formed for a specific purpose, and it was to preach the gospel. But how bad did he screw up before he figured it out? Bad. He really screwed up bad. When he said he was the chief of sinners, he really was. He wasn't just a nice saying. He really was a chief of sinners. He was out to get the church until he realized he needed to be the church, raise up the church, carry the burden of the church daily. He was set apart from before he was born. In Psalm 139, it says that there were words written about you before you were ever formed in the womb. Did you know that? There were words written about you, about your days on earth, before you were ever formed in the womb. What are you set apart to do? I used to think it was just the few who were set apart. Not so. We're all supposed to be, but most of us, like Paul, are bumbling around. We just haven't had that knock off the horse, you know, blinding experience. But I'm going to tell you something. You can ask for it. Jesus wants you to know your post, your position, and your niche, which nobody can do but you, and you'll be an expert at it because you were made for it. You were made with a design in mind. You were designed to have certain functions. There's some things you're good at because you were born to be good at them. And if you're in the wrong niche, you'll be bad at that. And you'll wonder why it isn't flowing. But that's why. I was born to do this. If I tried to go do other things, I'm telling you, it would be a bad deal. You know? If there's some things. I tried to go street witnessing. You know? I've tried a number of times. I tell you, I can do it, but it's tough for me. Some people just like that. So easy, so easy, so easy. For me, hoo-hoo. Because I was born for a certain thing. You were set apart for something. One thing Paul said, he talked about that he talked about his life, and he said he was in bonds, but also the defense and the confirmation of the gospel. And I believe that's what he was set apart for. The defense, in other words, apologetics to prove it out, and the confirmation. What is the confirmation? God confirms his word with signs and wonders following. So Paul knew he was destined to go as far as his feet would carry him, defending and confirming the gospel message. He was born for it. He was set apart for it. And nothing could stop him, no matter how they beat him up, how many times they beat him up, left him for dead, shipwrecked, didn't matter. All that stuff, nothing could stop him from his purpose. And so what God wants you to understand is, what's the season you're in right now? What is the purpose for which you are here? Who are you really? And here's the thing. I don't even like to use this expression, but I was in worship one night. Actually, the truth is, I was trying to just read the book of Romans. I didn't get any further than verse 1. And I was instantly taken and was able to see from the heavenly perspective all these people, Christians, believers who love the Lord, running around on earth doing the best they knew to serve God, but their focus was so earthly. They were trying to do Christianity by earthly means. They didn't know any better. And so God was trying to get them to come up to a place where they could see who they were. What were the words written about you? Psalm 139. What were the words written about you before you were formed in the womb? What was the words written about your days? What were those words? And you can only get those from the Father. Did you know you get your identity from your Heavenly Father? That's where you get your identity from. We have tried to get our identity and value from all kinds of silly stuff, right? Being the smarter one, the, you know, whatever. Everybody's different, you know. People chase value and identity in all these different places, but the only place you can get your truest identity is from your Father in heaven, because he's the only one who knows who you are. He knows who you are, and he longs to show you. Did you know that God longs, he has a longing in his heart to take you away with him? That's why God, he really hates, he loves you and he's not mad, but he hates those distractions. The busyness, the things that keep everybody so buzzing about their life, right? We all battle it, right? Did you ever go try to spend some time with God and, oh, you forgot to turn your phone down, or, oh, there's something that, God absolutely hates those distractions. You know, it's sad because sometimes he's got to try to get a word in edgewise. It's truth. Sometimes he's got to try to get a word in edgewise between all the stuff. You know, between you doing whatever it is you do and going to watch the TV and all the stuff. And I'm not condemning anybody. He's had to deal with me. But I've learned that when I go with him, there is no phone. It doesn't come in the room with me. There's no, nothing comes in the room with me, nothing. When I go to be with him, because he wants me set apart unto him for that time, because the longer he has with you, the longer he has with your soul and spirit, the more he can pour in an understanding. He wants to pour in his understanding and his words about you. You know, sometimes, I'm telling you, there's a place where you get close enough to God, God's trying to draw you, you understand? He's trying to draw us. He wants to draw us to a place. But you'll get to a place where you can lock eyes with God and lock eyes with Jesus. And all kinds of stuff passes between you when that happens. There are no longer words. He's not speaking. You're not hearing. You're just receiving knowledge. I don't know how that works. I'm just telling you. When Jesus releases light and life through his eyes, he will pour into you the truth about you, about earth, about heaven. God wants to give his children a promotion to walk in heavenly places as the norm, the normal lifestyle, to where we operate with a different perspective. You still operate in the earth. You still do all the same stuff. You still work your job. That's fine. You don't have to act weird. In fact, please don't. It doesn't help. You know, if you're going around acting weird on your job, you know, back in the 90s, people were in revival and everybody was walking around like this, huh! You know, in the street. Come on, really? You know, and, you know, I can do it with the best of them. I mean, I can get nailed by the Holy Ghost. But I've learned how to be acclimated to the presence, so I'm not falling over every 2 minutes. You got to get acclimated to the power and the presence of God to where you can function. Even if he really turns up the heat, you know, so that he can turn up the heat and you can still pass it on without getting weird. People do not understand weird. And it doesn't draw them, it repels them. That was a tangent. But God wants to bring you up through the ranks, through promotion, through stewardship and proper management, And when I say that, let me explain what I mean. Stewardship is managing your life, your affairs, your family, your household, your thoughts, your ministry. It's stewarding it, because none of it, what's a steward? A steward is not the owner. He's just the manager. Right? This is not my ministry, and it wasn't Edgar's ministry. This is God's ministry. I'm allowed to steward it. I'm allowed to drive it. So I have to be careful how I do that. A steward listens to God and says, oh, turn left. Okay. Oh, stop. Even when you want to go. Even when your flesh wants to go. Even when it makes sense. Oh, that would be a great meeting. No, I don't want you to go. Okay, not going. Stewardship is doing, is managing God's affairs for him in his behalf. And when you're a wise and faithful steward, he says, oh, there's somebody I can use. Because they're being wise and faithful with those three little things I gave them. Here's something you can steward. If you don't have anything else, steward your thoughts. Learn how to steward what is allowed to go through your head. Right? And that takes some time. It doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't. Right? Most of us start out with squirrely thoughts. I certainly did. I had a lot of negative, unbelieving thoughts. I used to have a lot of I just didn't really get it. And thankfully, God began to challenge me to change the way I think, change the way I speak. A lot of people talk a lot about how important words are, but let me tell you something, words come from the heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth speaks. And so it really is good to pay attention to what's going on in your heart. What's going on there? Why did you say that? Why did you think that? It's a good thing to begin to manage and steward your thoughts. And to work on getting free until you can think clean, think holy, think worship, think Jesus. Because what happens is, as your thoughts go, so your life goes. As your thoughts go, so your life goes. I would challenge you, you have never gone to the grocery store unless you thought about it first. You didn't come here without thinking about it first. At some point you thought, I think I'll go to that. You've never called anybody without first thinking, I think I'll call them. Your thoughts direct your behavior. So it's a really good thing to begin to steward your thoughts. Because a person who stewards their thoughts properly can cause amazing things to happen in the earth. Because God has given you authority in the earth. And if you're having a lot of problems in your life, check your thoughts. And ask God to help you. It's not even something we can do on our own, but by his grace, we can be set free in our thought life. We can be set free to think better thoughts, more holy thoughts, more worshipful thoughts. Sometimes thoughts come, they're not even yours. It's a dart from the enemy. You know, an anger thought or a resentment thought or a bitterness thought. And immediately, you know, the best time to stop it is immediately. Rather than letting it come in and, you know, knitting a scarf out of the thing, right, that you then wear, right? You know, one thought comes in, and instead of realizing, you know, a lot of people don't even realize some of those thoughts were darts of the enemy, you know? And he'll do this. Let's say there's somebody that maybe did you wrong. Maybe it was 20 years ago, and you've already forgiven them and forgotten about it and moved on. You know what Satan likes to do? He likes to bring that, you know, remember when they did that to you? It's a thought, it's a dart. So Ephesians 6 refers to as a dart. You're like, you know, and you start thinking. If you don't stop it immediately, right, you start knitting. Knit one, purl two, knit one, purl two. You start building something out of it. Pretty soon you're mad. And the stupid thing was 20 years ago, you already forgave them. You already made peace. There's been no problem 20 years ago, and you're knitting this thing, which is going to become a thing around your neck that you're wearing. You know, I'm telling you. So it behooves you to understand that those thoughts, get really good at recognizing the second a thought comes in. Whether it's a temptation, whether it's a wrong motivation, you know, you get to own your thoughts. And you get to tell your thoughts what to be. It's amazing. But your thoughts, your mind, your emotion were actually made to obey you. So you tell them what to do. You know what I do? I'll just give you one example. Some time ago, I started saying, I am in perfect health from head to toe all the days of my life. Several times a day, I just say that, just for fun. I'm in perfect health from head to toe all the days of my life. Now, here's what happens. As you say that, your mind starts to go, yeah, that's right. Then if Satan tries to attack you with something, you go, uh-uh. Because you've already built a wall of protection. You've already built faith, right? But if you're sitting around in sewage all the time and watching the news all the time and hearing all the dreaded mongus reports, blah, 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 blah. You're listening to that all the time. And then you get one little cough. Oh, my God, this is it. Oh, my God, this is that thing that so-and-so had. Oh, my God, this is it. Right? And then you receive the stupid thing. And where did that happen? It happened in your thoughts. So begin to steward. If you have had a failure spirit, I used to have a spirit of failure. And I really felt like, it's weird because I'm also an overachiever. Go figure that out. I don't know how that works. But an overachiever, you know, it doesn't matter what you put before them. It, you know, they can't just do it. They have to do it like, you know, it has to be the best. Like they're nuts, right? And so that was always me, right? Always trying to do everything with excellence. And don't just do it, but do it, you know, on time, under budget, and with a smile. And would you like fries with that? You know, that was me. But at the same time, a devil had assaulted me with a spirit of failure. You're not good enough. You're never going to get to do anything for God. God wouldn't use you, you dirty dog. And it really had it made no sense. But there's people, I'm talking to people in this room, that you have felt like not good enough, I'll never be able to overcome. That is I'm going to say it in plain English, that's a demon. And it stands by your bedside and says this stuff to you. And you think it's your thoughts. It's not. And you need to start talking back to the enemy and saying, oh, no, 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 that used to be me. But it's not me anymore. Haven't you heard? I'm a new creation. Haven't you heard? I'm made in the image of Jesus. And by the way, Jesus has never failed at anything. I am an overcomer. That's who I am. So go down the street and find somebody else to peddle your wares, because that's not me. And you need to tell him, and every time he shows up, because you know what he'll do? He'll show up not until he knows that it's true, because he already knows it's true. He'll show up until he knows you know. It's like he'll pick at you and pick at you and pick at you until he says, oh, I actually think they've got that. Okay, well, we'll have to try something else. Come on, boys, we'll have to go away and try to figure out something else for this one, because they got that now. That's how you get delivered. A lot of times that's how you get delivered, is you say, no, nope, it is written, nope, it is written, nope, it is written. And some of you have not understood that those thoughts are from the enemy trying to get you to believe. What do I want to say? There's a word for this. Instead of believing the Bible, it's like believing the devil's Bible. The devil wants you to believe his junk because it will keep you hell-bound, earth-bound, not that you're going to hell, you're not, if you're born again, but stuck in his system. And God wants to break off every cord, every tie, every shackle, and release you to do in the earth the heavenly things he put in you before you were born. Can you see that? That you were born with a purpose in mind. You didn't just happen. There are no accidents. If you were told you're an accident, listen, there are no accidents. You were ordained of God. And God has written stuff about you. It says he formed you in the womb. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. And he wrote already about you, hiding inside of you. And I know you've heard me say this 50,000 different ways, but guess what? I'm saying it again because God wants his people to get this. In you, inside your body, if and only if you're born again, there is a package from heaven that is the real you. It is aching to get out and be released. That thing that God put in you is holy, It is the real you, right? It's made in this very image. See, remember what happened. God made Adam in his image, right? He said so. Let us make man in our image. Adam was perfect, pure, and holy before he screwed up, right? He was a perfect man, made in the image of God. Imagine, we could go on all night about what he had. Think of the mind he had, made in the image of God. Come on, think about it. He knew more than Einstein and Hawking and Elon Musk all rolled in one. They know nothing, nothing next to what Adam knew. Because he was made in the image of God. He had the love of Jesus Christ. Jesus was the last Adam. Except he didn't screw up. So Adam had this love of God, the compassion of God, the ability of God. He had it. But because he botched up, Jesus said, okay, I'm going to have to go purchase it back, right? I'm going to have to go to earth as a man, purchase it back, and give it back to my children. But they're in a flesh condition, right? They've already sinned. They're already living in sin, and they've got a sin nature. So all I can do is give them a new nature that will live inside them, this perfect envelope of holiness. That's the real them that I wrote about in Psalm 139. Can you see it a little bit? That living in your body, if you're born again, is the real you, and it's trying to come out. But it's bound by all our junk. It's bound by all the false belief systems and the I can'ts, and I don't think God means me, and I don't know if that's really true. Is the Bible really from God? Yes. And if there's an issue, it isn't the Bible, it's that you just don't understand it yet. When I was young and stupid, I remember reading one thing in the Bible, and I remember going, thinking God didn't write that. Because I knew God, I'll just tell you what it was. I thought Paul was a little crabby about women. I did. Didn't understand Paul at all. Now he is my hero, I love him. But I didn't get it. And I knew Jesus wasn't like that. I knew he had made me who I was. So I couldn't accept was the issue the Bible? It was my understanding, which was too earthly. You understand? The issue is never God, it's us. God wants to uncap the well. Oh, wait a minute. He called it the rivers of living water. Out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. What's in your belly? Come on. Who lives in your belly? The real you, the born again you. But your well has been capped, right, by earthly understanding, and it's only to the degree that we've gotten the thing open that we can flow in the power of the Spirit. Come on. Have you ever met somebody that can just poof, flow in the power of the Spirit? Stand before the throne and deliver the sentences of God? Have you ever met somebody like that? Because I'm telling you, that's you. You may say, well, I don't want to preach. That's okay. But in some way, you are called to deliver the goods from the throne through the real you. That's the only way it comes. God has chosen to limit himself to work through born-again people. But there's all these people all bound and squashed in this mortal body. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Mm-hmm. Who are you really? What were you set apart to do? What were you born for? What are the words that were written about you? They're not the same as the ones written about me. Wouldn't it be fun in heaven if we have a party, this group right here, and we're able to open the books and see what each of our words are? Because one day that will be opened, and you know what you'll say? Oh, man, I don't want you to say this. I don't want you to say, oh, I wish I would have known that's who I was. Or God tried to tell me that, but I didn't really believe him because I was told all these lies. I didn't really believe he could use me for that. I didn't think I was smart enough or strong enough. You're not. I assure you. God doesn't need your smarts or your strength because the Spirit he put in you has it all. It's not in your flesh. You don't have it and neither do I. But in you, dwelling in you is all the power of heaven. Well, how about this scripture? You don't believe me? And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. Come on. So you have to begin to challenge your thinking. When those thoughts come and say, well, I know God told me I should do that, but I just don't see it happening, or I don't know how he's going to do it. Of course we don't know how. But it would behoove you to say, listen, I don't know how you're going to do it, but I know you're big enough. I know I'm not smart enough, but I know you are. I may not have the ability, but you do. And more than that, I believe you can use me, even me. Even me who had nothing to offer. Even me who was a complete mess. You can use me because you're greater. You don't use people based on our righteousness. You use them based on Jesus' righteousness. You don't heal people based on our righteousness. You heal people through us based on Jesus in us. And if you get this, you will not shrink back anymore. The Bible says he has no pleasure in those who shrink back. Well, I just don't know if God means me. Yes, he does. We think that's holy, but it's offensive to God. We think shrinking back, oh, I just don't know if he means me. We think that's holy. I'm going to tell you something. It's offensive to God because we just called him a liar. I don't know if you're capable of thinking me. Oh, really? Well, I have to rewrite the Bible then. Because I meant you when I wrote it. Did you get born again? Because if you did, you have no excuse not to believe what I said about you, that I love you, and nothing, nothing, nothing can separate you from the love of God. And if you're sitting around saying, well, I think God is displeased with me, well, then you need to read it again. Does it mean he's happy with everything we do? No. He's not happy with everything we do, but he loves us. There's a difference. See, you know why you think that way? If you're a person in here and sometimes you feel like your relationship with God comes and goes, or he loves you, then he's mad at you, then he loves you, then he's mad at you. It's not true. You think that because that's how people treated you. Somewhere, someone in your life, and maybe everyone in your life, they hinged their love for you based on your behavior. You hear me? Let me just say this to you lovingly. That's what manipulators do. Oh, you did what I want, so I'll love you. Oh, you didn't do what I wanted. I'm going to back off from you. That's manipulation. God does not do that. God says, I love you with an everlasting love. Nothing can take you out of my hand. Your behavior cannot change that. And if you get this, you'll be able to walk in the love of God and know this. My behavior wasn't perfect, but he's going to deliver me. He's going to walk me out of it. He's going to strengthen me. He's going to enable me. He's going to cause me to be able to pour out of the Spirit instead of out of my flesh. He's going to set me free until I can speak the words of God, do the works of God, and carry his presence and his glory. That's the point. But it takes faith, and faith takes understanding. How can you have faith if you don't have understanding? How can you have faith in heavenly stuff pouring through you if you don't get the process? You know, if you don't understand it, right? God wants you to understand. When he said, out of your belly shall flow rivers. Are you walking in rivers yet? We rarely see somebody, right, that's just flowing in rivers, right? And when we do, we say, oh, look at that guy. He's man, that guy, he's just always got the presence. You know, there's always miracles with that guy, right? You know the difference? You know what the lie is? The lie is, well, he's specially called. He figured it out. He dared to believe. He got past all the crud, the wrong thinking, the failure mentality. All the lies. I assure you, I don't care if we're talking about, you know, I can name all kinds of famous people, right? Reinhard Bunke walked in it for decades. Such power. People were healed just where they stood. New eyes, new ears. I got a friend, Jerry O'Dell. New heart, new lungs, miracles all the time. He doesn't even, there's thousands of people. He doesn't have time to lay hands on them. He stands there and he just says, lay hands on yourself in the name of Jesus. They're all healed, like all at once, boom. See, man, that guy, he's been walking in it for decades. I assure you, Jerry had to change his mind. He had to be transformed in his mind. He had to fight his thoughts. He had to fight thoughts of, well, I don't know if this means you. You got to overcome. That's why it's called an overcomer. You got to overcome. And I think the problem is, in the church, I think there's not been enough Holy Ghost preaching that said, this is the pearly great price. This is the goal. Go for this. And so we've had people who thought it was about living a good life, being comfortable and having our needs met. And that's important, and God wants our needs met. He has no problem with that. God loves you. But that's not the point. At the end of your life, it isn't going to matter what house you lived in. At the end of your life, it isn't even, frankly, when you go to see Jesus, the question won't be, was I healed? God has healing for you. I assure you, I believe in divine healing. I do. I believe Jesus has already purchased it for you. And I demand all that in my life. But when we stand before him, I think there's going to be a bigger burning question. Did I become who I was born to become? Did I fulfill the words that were written about me in Psalm 139? Did I carry what I was born to carry? Or did I wimp out because the devil talked me out of it or put a few obstacles in my way? Sometimes people get an obstacle and they just deflect, man. They just, oh, that's too hard. Well, you know why? I don't think they've seen the pearl of great price. Because once you get a hold of what you could have in this earth, not in heaven, I'm talking about on this earth. If you get a revelation knowledge and an understanding of what it could be, I don't care what the devil throws at you. You're like, I will get through that. I don't care how many hours I got to pray. I don't know how we're getting through this, but God's going to show me and I'm going to go through it. I don't care. I don't care what it takes. If I have to pray a year, is we're doing. If I have to fast, I'm doing it. I'll do whatever I have to do. But guess what, devil? Here's the rule. One of us is going to win. One of us is going to lose. Guess who? And I don't care how long that takes. And I will invest whatever it takes. And I want every one of you to get like that. There's always a battle when you want to do something for God. So what? Paul had battles everywhere he went. He never chickened out. Oh, they beat me up. They left me for dead. I think I'll just stay here in Ephesus and rest. Oh, they threw me in jail and there's rats running across my feet. I'll just stay here. That's what most of us would do. Most of us have never even been hit once for the gospel. Never even been hit. I'm talking about slugged, the good one. Most of us never shed blood for the gospel. Never even really took any real persecution. And we fall apart because there's a trial. Listen, those days are over. We need to become what Jesus was in this earth. I'm telling you, this is the day for it right here. This is the day we're living in, where we have the opportunity to release the power of God through the church by rivers of living water. God is calling us to transformation. You know, some of you are going through a hard time, and I love you, but you're kind of whiny. I love you. And I've been whiny. Listen, I used to be the chairman of the board of the Whining Association of the Western Hemisphere, so I did. I'm telling you, you would have hated me then. Oh, my gosh. Pew. Pity party. Pew. But God shook me out of it. You know, lovingly slap me around a little. Because you know what? That avails nothing. When you get into self-pity, you might as well just sit down in the swamp in your stink and just plan on some years there. Because God is not going to come and get you out of that stinking swamp. He already did that. Already shed his blood. And you know, you can walk out anytime you want, Holly O. You can stay there, Holly. Or you can walk out of that. Because I've put the truth in my word. And you believe it or not. And if you don't believe it, you're going to stay in the swamp. Right? He said to me, do you believe I am who I say I am? You said this, but I see that. Oh, please. Oh, you said this, but I see that. Yeah, that's because you're on earth and you are responsible to pull it from heaven to earth through your faith and your words. But if you want to keep whining, you can do that. I'm just telling you what he told me, okay? Not yelling at anybody. I'm just telling you what he told me. If I hadn't got it, I'd still be in that swamp. You know what a swamp is like? It stinks. There's a stench of rot in a swamp. And that's what self-pity wants to do to you. People who want sympathy, sympathy is an enemy. It is. You want to call people and say, poor me, wah, 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 so they'll feel sorry for you, and maybe they'll pray. And maybe if enough people feel sorry for you and pray, maybe they'll lift you out of the swamp. It won't happen. I hate to break it to you. That's not how you get out of the swamp. It's not how. What you do is you say, okay, things are bad. I see it. This is bad. That's not right. This other thing's not going on. But the word says this. Do you believe I am who I say I am? Do you believe my word or do you not? That's what he said to me, essentially. And I knew he was calling me to choose to believe it, speak it, think it, act like it. And as I did, I not only walked out of the swamp, washed myself in pure water, began to walk with God. I'm talking about bare bones. I didn't know doodle, really. Began to learn how to sit with him and learn how heaven works. We're Christians trying to do Christianity according to earth rules, and it doesn't work. And that's why people see failure all the time. People call me all the time, crying, weeping, groaning, all the time, every day, every day, every day. I love them, but you know what they lack? Every single time I've learned over time, the only thing that's missing is truth. They don't have truth in their inmost parts, and they're responding to their situation. And if I can get them to see truth, right, just like God helped me, right? I'm nobody, but God helped me, jerked me out of the swamp water, said, here, you know, look at this, kiddo. You know, I love you, but get a clue. That's how, you know, he had to kind of confront me. And if you get the truth, you won't spend one more day in that nonsense. You'll get out of it, take a bath in the word, say, listen, if God said it's so, it's so. I don't care if I don't see it yet. I will see it. Amen. I don't care what it looks like in the earth. I don't care what the enemy says. He's a known liar. In fact, oh, wait, the father of lies is what Jesus called him. That means there was never a lie in the universe until Satan spoke, opened his yap. There was never a lie. He was the father of it. And you're listening to that and considering it truth and wondering why things are upside down. Stop it. That was a prophecy right there. That was not Holly. Stop it. God loves you and he has better things for you. And he's filled his word full of truth about you, about your life, about your history, about your past, and about your future, about where you're going. And I want tonight, I want every one of you to really see and get that the pearl of great price is Jesus Christ died to give you himself on the inside of you, along with every truth you'll ever need, every answer you'll ever need, every understanding, every direction, every healing you'll ever need. Everything you'll ever need. And the issue is learning how to walk in such a way that you're walking in him so that when things happen, you say, okay, what now? Oh, okay, we're doing that. It's a relationship that begins to manifest Jesus and his works in the earth more and more and more. I just now we're going to flip a little because I heard blaming. That means to me that there's some blamers in here. Okay, I love you, but I'm just saying what God is saying. Some of you have blamed your situation on others. I knew a guy that destroyed his own life. Nobody could help him. I knew him well. He blamed God, he blamed the church, he blamed his mother. He blamed everybody, but he would not take responsibility for his own thoughts and actions. He never did get free. In fact, he ended up renouncing Christ, walking away. Renouncing and walking. Blaming is really dangerous. So if you're a blamer, I love you, but I feel like God's warning you. Stop it. You have a responsibility. I know that A lot of us here, a lot of people could say, well, I was a victim, and a lot of people really were. I'm going to tell you something. What you do with that is up to you. You can stay in that all your life and have a sad story. I got a sad story. If I told you my story, you'd cringe. You would. If I told you my whole story, some of you'd be throwing up in the back. It was awful. But you know what? God taught me how to leave it. It happened. So what? That doesn't determine who I am. That doesn't own me. I'm not going to let that own me. I let it own me for 8 years. What a stupid thing. What a waste of time. Wah, 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 poor me. This horrible thing happened to me. Wah, wah. Eh, shut up. Right? I could still be in it if I didn't listen to God. I could still be the victim. Poor me, wah, wah. I lost everything. Poor me. But God began to deal with me. I had a choice. And he wasn't, I'll tell you something, he wasn't too soft about it. And essentially, he told me the truth and said, now, you know, essentially, this is paraphrased, you could stay in there 8 more years if you want. 20, if you want. Your whole life, if you want. You can throw away your whole life over what happened to me. Listen, all of us have had horrible things happen. I don't think there's anyone, honestly, that hasn't had things happen that were dreadfully wrong. We've all had stuff. Some worse than others, and some stories are so bad you almost can't imagine what happened. It's not that I don't have compassion. I do. But staying in it will never, never cause you to be who you were supposed to be. I may tell you a story about somebody I know. I want to say who it is, but I can't because they might ever think, you know, it's a relative. Hallelujah. And this person had a sad thing happen to him, and they were grieving over it. It was sad. It was a very sad thing. And so I listened to him for about 2 years on the phone. Hallelujah. I tried to be, you know, sympathetic for 2 glorious years. Then when we got to be about 4 years, I finally said, listen, that same thing happened to me, and it was hard, and it was terrible. It shouldn't have happened. But God spoke to me that I shouldn't make an idol out of my emotions. Needless to say, they didn't call me anymore for a long, long time. You know, they got mad. They wanted their pity party. They wanted the victimization. They wanted poor me. And I get it. I would have lived in that. But the choice isn't poor you, what happened to you. The choice is, do you or do you not want to fulfill your purpose in the earth? And is it worth that? And the answer is no, it's not. Because if you could see who you really are, if you could glimpse how God would really use you, if you could see one moment of the firepower you would carry if you'd step out of that junk, stop blaming, stop self-pitying, walk out of it and choose to believe the word of God, I'll tell you, God would use you in such a way where we'd all be amazed. It's your choice. It's your choice. No one will do it for you. No one. I'm just telling you. God loves you. But he will not make you do what is right. Some of you need to stand up out of the junk and go, done with that. It happened. Can I say this? It sucked. It was bad. I hated it. But that's not going to define me. That's not going to define my identity. Yeah. That's not going to determine my future. Uh-uh. The Bible, the Word of God, that's going to determine my future. The glory of God, I'm the temple of the living God. That's going to determine my future. And my pearl of great price is going to be that I will be like Paul at the end. This is my prayer for all of us, for me especially. This is my prayer. I'll be able to say, I fought the good fight. I finished my course. I ran the race. I finished my course. And there is laid up for me, right? The time of his departure was at hand. You know what that means? He knew he was getting ready. He knew it was close. And he was able to say with confidence, there I did it. I did. I did what I was put here to do. I did what I was set apart to do. Will you be able to say that at the end of your life? That is what I desire for you. That is what I pray over you. I pray it burns in you. I don't want to be mean, but I pray that the purpose and the presence of God burn in you until nothing this world has is anything to you. None of it matters. Not the good stuff, not the bad, none of it matters. What matters is the pearl of great price. I want you to be so hungry for that you go after and you say, I'll pay any price for that. I'll pay any price to carry the presence. I'll pay any price to speak the word with rivers of living water. I'll pay any price. I'll do what it takes. If I have to pray, if I have to fast, if I have to read, if I have to study, if I have to memorize, if I have to stay up all night, if I have to get up, back out of bed. Sometimes God gets me back up out of bed. It's 1 a.m. Get up. Get back up. Oh, hey, and I'm tired, but okay. Go to the living room. I got something to say to you. Suddenly I'm wide awake. It takes a different kind of life, but is it worth it? Yeah, any pearl of great price. What is it? You sell everything you have, and you go buy that field. That's what I want for you. That's what I fervently desire for you, because you'll never walk the same way. And it won't be too many years before we look at you and go, look at that. Look at that one carrying the glory. Look at that one preaching and the rivers of God are healing people. Look at that one just looking at somebody and they're healed. God can heal people through your eyes. God can heal people through your speech. God can heal people through your hand. God can confirm his word that came out of your mouth with signs following. Amen? It's all God. I pray that this burns in you. I pray that this burns in you. You say, all this other stuff, I don't want it. All this other stuff, I don't care about that. God will bless you. Listen, God will bless you on the way. In fact, the more you dedicate to him, the more you dedicate yourself to him, the more he looks for ways to bless you. Blessings follow you all the time. But they didn't become your idol. They didn't become the goal. Blessings follow me all the time. Blessings I don't even ask for. I'm asking for him. All of him. Amen.
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 We hope you enjoyed today's message by Holly Bailey. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.